Place your heart with mine. Let your sleeping soul take flight. Take me through the night. Down, down, down by the river. Down, down, down by the river. Hanging moon in fog, mist will lead where you belong. Sweep me off my feet. Down, down, down by the river. Down, down, down by the river.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to...
Who the hell are you?
My name is Astarion, and I'm involved... Fuck, I messed up the line! Fuck! Roll the tape back! I do that line all the time!
Yeah, we all believe you, babe.
I do be saying that line constantly. Hi, everybody, it's Export Audio 172. I was doing kind of a soft, gentle, kind of a stairwells intro I do. And I'm really glad that you totally disrupted the energy. Just totally messed up the
vibe. Was the last time you were on this podcast?
They pre-gamed McClunky.
And before that? Was it the previous Christmas special?
Let's look. Dragon Readers, Dragon Readers, Dragon Readers, Dragon Readers. They pre-gamed McClunky. Dragon Readers, holiday special. So, yes.
So we need to go back and edit. They pre-gamed a McClunky because,
Did I spell McClunky wrong?
We didn't do nice copy Export Audio Holiday Special.
No. They pre-gamed a McClunky as our Rebel Moon episode.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Starring Crystal.
Medieval peasants couldn't handle the mask.
This was almost a journal updated, but we're doing Export.
Why?
We're doing Export
because
you had a bad day at work and I had a day at work, and so we're kind of like, you know, journal, like, it's a little more buttoned up, it's a little more professional. Export can sometimes involve you yelling at me and me trying to continue the bit and then failing and then getting mad that I didn't do the bit right. And then...
My name's Astarion.
I was in Baldur's Gate when those beasts snatched me.
Is that actually the line?
That is actually the line.
Beam me up, Scotty-ian.
No, it's actually the line. He says beam me up, Scotty, doesn't he?
He doesn't.
You're thinking of Play It Again, Sam.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. Why would I ever think that you're making a Casablanca reference? So true, Oomphy. He never says beam me up, Scotty?
He always says, like, Mr. Scott, for to beam up. Like,
oh,
that.
He does, yeah. He also never says he's dead, Jim, from what I can recall.
I'm not going to make a claim on that. I'm going to make a claim on the one that I know of.
He's dead, Jim. I guess he does say it. Okay, I'm talking out my ass.
There's a whole page about this on TV Tropes. Beam me up, Scotty.
There's a page on Memory Alpha for He's Dead, Jim.
This is just like elementary, my dear Watson, as the example on the page here of like a line that is ubiquitous in pop culture, but is not actually the actual quote.
I think of this as play it again, Sam, which is...
And also, he doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. He says, no, I am your father. Because it's part of a fucking conversation.
He doesn't say, Luke, I am your father?
No. Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
Oh.
No. I am your father.
I tried to give you the line back, and I had no idea what the line was. I had no idea what the line was. One of the films got pretty close, but even then, it was Scotty Beam Me Up.
I'm going to turn off of the TV Tropes page.
Thank you.
What are we here to talk about?
Person
who hasn't hosted a podcast with me in months?
Bald as gate.
Which one?
Three. Sorry. Can you give me that? I want to do another line read. You prompt me again.
Sorry, I was fantasizing about ripping you apart and feasting on your organs.
Can you give me that one more time?
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 No, but do prompt me again.
We got it.
No, for real, prompt me again. I want to do another line read on Baldur's Gate 3, please.
Instead, I'm going to keep referencing a TikTok that I don't even remember how to find again.
Well, it's in my inbox, so as long as you don't send me more TikToks, we'll be fine.
What Baldur's Gate is it?
Baldur's Gate 3. I was trying to do a Resident Evil. I don't think it came through.
Yeah, no.
Resident Evil. Resident Evil.
You don't have
that. I don't have it.
You sound like one of those people who thinks they have a solid snake.
Burr, burr, burr.
What was that? That was your little trumpet.
I was going to do the Baldur's Gate 1 song that was in my head all day today, but then I thought about that tweet that's like,
about every man thinks that they can do solid snake.
Yeah, every man thinks that he can do solid snake. I think I have an okay solid snake. Given that I'm generally bad at impressions, I feel like my Otacon? No. That was a really terrible fucking...
Was that your solid snake? I thought you were going for fucking riding.
Muff.
Why'd you make him a pervert?
That's what he says. He says, Muff.
No, he says...
What is this?
No, it's more thing? It's more of a question of like, Muff.
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 Colonel.
I don't have it, but you certainly don't have it.
Colonel, one bad gloop and she... Nope, I don't have it. I super don't have it. I thought I had it. I'm not good at impressions.
You Revolver.
Revolver. Nope. Nope. What more impressions should I try and fail at?
Give me your favorite Avatar The Last Airbender character.
Okay. Who's my favorite Avatar?
Is I it just Aang? Went with something that you would be like you like well known, but also
I don't have
surprisingly difficult.
I don't have a Toph on hand, you know?
I do.
Folks, she did the John Cena, you can't see me.
No, because that's the thing she does.
Oh,
One of her punchlines is, she just waves her hand in front of her face 3 times.
Yeah.
So that was my impression of Toph.
You know what show sucks?
Legend of Korra?
Avatar The Last Airbender. I bet I would probably like Avatar fine. I just am a hater.
Yeah. We come to it honestly.
Yeah, nobody comes to it more honestly than us. What the fuck? Other than Astarion, it's kind of hard to do Baldur's Gate 3 impressions. A lot of them, two of the women just kind of have British lady voice.
Karlak is harder, but Shadowheart's pretty easy.
What's a good Shadowheart? Shadowheart is easy, also.
I can't make the right like...
What's a good line? What's, like, a Shadowheart line that I could try? I could take a shot.
I can't do it because I can't get my voice into the right, like...
I've never had a confidant quite like you. No. See, I don't have it at all. Hello.
Must I?
I'm Gale.
From Waterdeep.
Of Waterdeep. I did that line yesterday. I made a guy yesterday and met Gale, and he doesn't pause. He just says, "Hello, I'm Gale of Waterdeep." But for whatever reason, I think because of TikTok, I'm like, "Hello, I'm Gale."
It's also how the voice actor opens his videos sometimes. Just
he
like,
does.
Hello.
Yeah. That cameo of Gale doing his fucking dating profile is so good. I have a cat. I guess if you do a Gale origin run, you can just, like, meet the Tressum, like, way earlier in the game. Like, she can just be, like, hanging out in camp.
Yeah, because if you go and do a long rest by yourself before talking to Shadowheart on the beach, then you get, like, a unique thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're the Dark Urge, you get the blood scene.
Man. Dark Urge.
Yes, we do. Yo, what's good?
I was like, how did I transition? All my podcasting abilities failed me at that moment.
I'm here. I'm holding it down. I don't know what you're doing.
I was like, and now I will seamlessly transition into actually discussing the video game that we came here to discuss today. And my brain just froze. I couldn't get out of the shitposting mode and into time to do criticism.
What year did Baldur's Gate 3 come out?
It came out in 2023, but it also came out in like 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the long-awaited sequel to Baldur's Gate. I'm not sure.
Nobody was asking for another Baldur's Gate, really.
People were asking for D&D games, maybe.
I mean, people like those two Baldur's Gate games, even though I don't think they're very good.
I'm smitten with them. I'm about an hour and a half into Baldur's Gate.
Fucking paladin ass.
If I'm playing second edition, I'm playing a fucking paladin. I don't want to learn systems. I want to bonk.
I had a good time with Icewind Dale, but I did not have as good a time with Baldur's Gate because Baldur's Gate introduces that crazy guy early on, and I was like...
What crazy guy?
Fucking Zan.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. That was like a real tone setter, because I was not enjoying any of the characters.
Yeah. That's kind of like the place that I was at with Planescape, where I was poking at Planescape, and I was like, I don't really have like a thing that's hooking me here, you know?
I have not played more than 10 minutes of Planescape ever, so.
I have not played more than an hour of Planescape ever, so.
I have not gotten more party members than Mort, is how little of the game I've played.
Same. We're not here to talk about Planescape. We are here to talk about Baldur's Gate 3, 2023 role-playing game developed by Larian Studios of Pillars of Eternity fame. Divinity fame? No, Divinity is Obsidian.
Babe?
What?
It's Divinity.
Fuck! God fucking damn it.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I've never known the difference between Divinity and Pillars of Eternity. I'm not taking the L for this one. I've never known that.
Pillars of Eternity is the other fake Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
From Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
Obsidian, let me double check, because this link is purple for a reason.
Did you do Pillars for...
No.
You only did Tyranny.
We've done Tyranny, Fallout New Vegas, and... Outer Worlds, and Pentiment.
Yeah.
And Pentiment might be the... Outer Worlds.
What's that?
There's a lot of misses on this list, is my point.
What's the release date here on Outer World 2? I almost said Pentiment 2, which would be fucking crazy.
There isn't one. There's a logo, maybe.
Okay. I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
What's Avowed?
What is Avowed? an upcoming role-playing video game by Obsidian Studios.
An action RPG set in the world of Pillars of Eternity.
Interesting.
Not that interesting,
though. No, no.
Similar to Obsidian's previous game, The Outer Worlds, the game features dialogue options which reflect the tone the player wants to convey. Wow!
No way!
Oh, shit. Romancing companions is not a feature in Avowed.
Avowed is the, sorry, go back for just one second. The game was initially pitched as Obsidian's take on The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim, which I guess makes sense if The Outer Worlds is their Fallout, you know? I mean, I guess Fallout is their Fallout.
Fallout New Vegas is their Fallout, and that wasn't very good. I mean, it was fine. I enjoyed it, I guess. But this, the more time goes on, the more I'm just, like, completely unappealed. What's the word I'm looking for? Uninterested, maybe?
Yeah.
Would you like to talk about Baldur's Gate 3?
I feel like it's all we talk about these days. You and me.
Not on this podcast, it
is. Me and you. No, not on this episode of this podcast. Certainly not.
How long is this video game?
Okay. I think Morel, my character who cleared the final boss on Sunday, was at somewhere in the 50 to 60 hour range.
I was at 57 when I was at the epilogue.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Maybe I was in the 60 to 70 hour range even.
So we played this game for about 60 hours each?
No. Because I also had Valin, who got to Act 3, and that was my first character, so that was probably like 45 hours. Like, I took significantly longer getting through the early parts of the game and the mid-game. And then there was, well, there's second Valin, who I restarted once I kind of knew how the game worked, and she got to Act 2. There's also, you know, Elenin, who became Elzanine, and of course when I renamed her, I had to start the game over, even though she was only like 2 hours in. You are booting up the Xbox. You're getting numbers.
I'm getting numbers on the save files that I still have.
Yeah.
There are whole characters, as you can imagine, that...
Fucking tears in the rain, because, they give you a lot of save slots on this game.
They don't.
You and I use a lot of save slots on this game. Slave slot, blah, blah. I wonder if I get the game on PC and I start playing there, will you get more sleep? God!
I will
damn
not
it.
Get more slaves, I'm sorry. That's not...
You can't make fun of me for stuttering! You cannot make fun of me for stuttering.
There's a lot I can make fun of.
Meow, 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 meow. Well, while you load up...
Rook, my main character, who is the Dark Urge.
The Dirge.
The Dark Urge was about 57 or so hours. 56, 37, you know, pretty close.
Okay.
I got another 13 on Lynn. I got 6.5 on Veracity. That was like a 2-day thing, just like spur of the moment. Veracity is my first 5th edition character, so just felt nostalgic. Kess was my first character. That's sitting at 41 in the Lower City. We got Talon, 3.5 hours. We got Nirvana.
With a G?
With a G, my gnome. This is my Jack of All Trades playthrough with one level in each class. No respecking. She's got 9 hours 40. She's just gotten to the Underdark. We got Zonok Kreen, 13 minutes. We got Senna, 21 hours. We got Morgana, 2.5 hours. We got Zonok Shoal, a different version of that other character, at 3 hours. We got Herrick at 6.5 and Umri at 4.5. So somebody else can do all that math.
Yeah. But yeah, I had a character get to Act 3, I had a character get to Act 2, and then Morel, my 7th level warlock, 5th level paladin, who was just demolishing the end game. Because if you do enough content, the game becomes too easy.
I don't think it's too easy.
I think on the balanced difficulty, if you do enough content and you hit the level cap, you can trivialize a lot of things that maybe if I was level 10 or 11 would have been more interesting, you know?
But also, when you're 50 hours in, maybe you want some of the boss fights to be trivial.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what wasn't trivial is the final fucking 6 hours of the game, in all of, which encompasses the climax of the video game.
Yeah. I, trying to close out the game, I kept thinking, I'm close to the end, and I was simply not. There's a lot of content. I think the game's greatest strength, that there's a lot of content, is also its greatest weakness in a lot of ways. Should we summarize Baldur's Gate 3?
I suppose.
Should... Before I do.
No, fuck it. I won't answer the question then. You go ahead. Your turn.
Who... Your character that beat the game, Rook... She was a ranger, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All 12 levels of ranger?
Mm-hmm.
What was she like, if you had to boil it down into some sort of, like, alignment? Like, what was her alignment at the beginning of the game, and what was her alignment at the end of the game, you think?
I don't know. She was the Dark Urge, so she had no memory of her past.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that you get an alignment if you don't know who you are.
Well, was she like... Okay. I'll summarize the game then. Maybe this will make it easier to ask the question I'm trying to ask. I wanted to get, like... Did she start... Like, Morel started the game a little evil. And then kind of struggled with it. And then ended the game good. You know?
Pretty much. I mean... I think that Rook remained pretty neutral throughout. But...
I feel like start the game a little evil ball spawn and end up good.
Ball spawn? What do you mean?
Sorry to spoil fucking Baldur's Gate. You're a ball spawn. Well, if you play the game correctly, you're a ball spawn.
Correctly?
Okay.
Autumn said no tabs here.
Okay.
Oh, we didn't even mention our co-op characters, like Tavril Levine.
And, what was it? Felonin? Felonin? I don't know. You had Tavril Levine, and I had a...
You had a character that I named, because you thought I was better at naming guys. So.
Well, I thought we were earnestly starting a co-op honor mode run, and then you...
You said, babe, you're taking too long on the character creator. I want to play the video game. So I said, okay, fuck it, Tavril Levine. That's what you get when you rush art. You get Tavril Levine. I don't know what to tell you, babe.
Okay, summarizing the video game, truly, both of us finished this game with our Dark Urge characters. I think the Dark Urge is like... For reasons we will get into, I think of it as the, like, actual story of this game.
And my first character, who's also pretty far in, I started that character a week after launch because the characters I started with broke.
Oh, yeah.
This game was pretty buggy at first, and it's still pretty buggy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a whole companion disappear on that character also. Minthara was in my camp, and then at some point she did not follow me to Baldur's Gate.
Sucks. That sucks.
So,
you...
killed those tieflings for nothing.
You wake up on a big alien spaceship. I'm going to try to avoid D&D terminology to make this understandable to people who listen to us that aren't in D&D like that. What's up?
I'm just curious how many people that is at this point.
Do you think that Em and Jackson know what a Nautiloid
they
is?
They sure do now.
It's a big alien spaceship.
With tentacles. Yeah.
Not to call out Em and Jackson, I'm sure there are also people who listen to this podcast that don't really play D&D and know, like, about the Illithid Empire or whatever.
Spelljammers. You use a helmet to control them, usually.
I didn't know what Spelljammers was until like a month ago.
Spelljammer is one of the settings of D&D.
Yeah, and
with the boats going in the space.
Okay.
You got the psychic space penguins. I got the hippo guys.
You wake up in a big alien spaceship.
Not alive!
And the aliens, the mind flayers, have implanted you with a worm in your brain. And you may or may not also be possessed of a desire to murder everything you see. If you are possessed of such a desire, you are afflicted with what they call the dark urge. You will later learn that you are a ball spawn. What does that mean? We'll get to it.
You probably can tell.
It means you're a spawn.
From a ball.
You escape the alien spaceship with the help of your good friends, Lazelle and Shadowheart. They're not friends with each other. Yet. And you...
But they may be possessed of an urge to fuck.
I wish. I fucking wish.
I've seen some art. I can...
Trust me, I've seen some art. I've sought out...
I've read some fiction about Shadow Zell.
Oh, if you have some fiction you can send me, please do.
Yeah.
I'm fucking voracious.
I was reading one thing where I think a comment said, you know, Lazelle's nose is perfectly shaped for armpits.
Jesus Christ! So, you get off the Nautilus.
This really isn't a journal episode.
Huh? No, it is not! You get off the Nautilus. You befriend various people, such as Shadowheart, the cleric of Shar, Lazelle, a fighter, part of Vlakith's Githyanki Empire.
What's Vlakith and Githyanki mean?
Vlakith is an evil queen in space. Githyanki are space aliens, but less bad than the Illithid ones. Less outwardly evil, but still pretty evil. And
typically show up as like space pirates.
Typically show up as space pirates. In this game, Vlakith's empire is depicted as evil, but like the Githyanki as people are not inherently evil the way that mind flayers are. Yeah, and mind flayers do not. Question mark.
Well,
they have souls,
the
but they're
realms,
not
they're not apostolic souls that the gods can use as fuel. Don't worry about that. That's not from the game.
Shadowheart, Lazelle, Gale of Waterdeep.
What's his deal?
He's a wizard. He's got a nuke inside his chest.
Oh no.
Astarion.
What's his deal?
He's a fucking vampire.
Oh,
he was in Baldur's Gate when those beasts snatched him.
Oh no.
Because he has brainworm, he can be out in the sun, which makes it him go a whole 3 days before revealing that he's a vampire to everybody. There's Will. He is a warlock sworn to Mizora, a devil down in the Hells. She works for an even bigger, more famous devil named Zario.
Who is?
A bigger, more famous devil.
Well, one, she's a bald baddie. Two,
yeah,
she
is a bald baddie.
Fallen celestial.
Yeah. That doesn't come up in this video game.
Not really.
Zariel, a figure in D&D, going back to second edition, right?
I don't know about that.
Okay, anyway.
I don't know anything about that. Don't put that on me.
And last but not least, certainly first in my heart, Karlach. She's a big woman. She's a large, red woman. She gets
mad. Anything special about her?
She... You know what's special about Karlach? Karlach possesses many special
qualities.
What
does
she
do?
Well, you know, she's got this engine in her heart and it's overheating and it's going to kill her. Her story's good. Her story's a little underwritten because she was the last character added to the game. More importantly, at level 4, she gets the tavern brawler feat.
That's just built into her character?
Yeah.
That's weird. It seems like...
Well, you have many...
Usually you get to pick a feat, but Karlach just snaps the tavern brawler every time?
Yeah, she just snaps the tavern... And it's crazy. If you walk past the merchant in the first area, she just gets that ring of flinging to do an extra 1d4 throwing
now,
damage.
Now, there are 4 other companions that you didn't mention.
Oh, yeah.
There's the one we never saw, either of us. But
there's Chihira. Oh, Minthara.
We're starting in Act 1. Minthara.
Fair enough.
Who is?
She is an evil drow. She is part of the Cult of the Absolute, who are going to be the main antagonists of the game. We'll get into them in just a moment. There is Jahira. You might remember her from a little video game called Baldur's Gate. She is a druid. She is leading the Harpers.
She's a druid ranger multi-class. Excuse you.
Oh, is she? I didn't realize that.
That's why she's got two swords.
I guess that is why she has two swords.
She I wanted has to
fuck
what?
With you. I wanted to fuck with you and say swords. There is... the Harpers are Faerun CIA.
I don't know that that's true.
Faerun CIA, if there was no government oversight.
Anarcho CIA?
Yeah.
And then we've got the bear.
There's Halsin, who is a bear.
he's not a bear.
He's a druid who so often becomes a bear.
Yes.
He loves fucking. And then there is Minsk and Boo, who you may remember from a little video game called Baldur's Gate. We didn't, neither of us, meet Minsk and Boo.
I was not interested. That is the least interesting D&D, like, iconic character of all time.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Elminster. Minsk is such a, like, flaccid idea of a character that I've never once wanted to even look at him.
I hate Elminster so fucking much.
Elminster is also really boring, but at least he's a wizard.
You.
Me?
Yeah, you, Tav, the Dark Herd.
Tav?
You're Tav now. If you, or perhaps you are Senna, or perhaps you are Kess, or perhaps you are...
how many more of my guys can you name?
Zok, no, Thrall.
No.
Or, fuck, Rook is the one I was trying to get to. Or perhaps...
Well, a long time ago, I played
in a galaxy far, far away?
In this galaxy. Mm-hmm. I played a Dungeon World game, and I played a character named Bishop. Who was like a thief, very Garrett-inspired thief guy who never killed people, except the one time he killed somebody because that person killed his daughter. Anyway, I was thinking in my head, I want to play another member of that guy's crew, so I named her Rook as another chess piece motif.
So Rook goes on...
He was called Bishop because in my head he looked like, not Matthew McConaughey, what's his name? Michael Fassbender, who plays an android, an alien, and one of the androids, an alien, is named Bishop.
But not the...
No, he plays David.
Okay. Anyway.
Rook... Anyway, that's why she's called Rook.
Rook goes on an adventure. She's gonna get this tadpole removed from her head. Along the way, bonds are formed between your party members who basically all seem to have plots revolving around servitude to a god or higher power and rebelling against those bonds in some way.
Or father.
Or father.
Or mother.
Yeah. You discover that the worms are being implanted in people as part of a plot from the Cult of the Absolute. A mysterious cult that is sweeping its way across Faerun. In Act 1, you encounter some tieflings who are refugees from Descent into Avernus, available at a game store near you.
There are many ties to official D&D adventure modules in this game. Will soloed one of them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his story about how he became a warlock is the first 5e published adventure. And he basically soloed it. Like, he became a fucking level 12 warlock and just did the whole thing himself.
Huh. I didn't realize that. So, you meet some druids or some tieflings that are hanging out in a grove with some druids, and the druids are kind of assholes. And then the other option is that there's the cult... and a bunch of goblins, and you have to decide, like, will I help? You really have to decide, will I save the refugees, or will I pile up their corpses on behalf of the Absolute?
Or will I leave?
And just leave this unresolved?
Yeah, just don't worry about it. Keep going.
Yeah.
They'll close off the grove,
mm-hmm.
kick the tieflings out, they'll die.
Yeah.
And you'll keep going. You'll go to the crash and
yeah,
blow it up or whatever.
There's a from after the Grove. There's two big areas: the Githyanki Kresh, where you can learn a lot more about them and what Vlakith's up to and what Vlakith wants, or the Underdark, where you can do a bunch of things that don't really matter to the overall story, but is also some of the most memorable stuff in the game. Just visually, I think.
Well, the important thing there is that you get the boots of speed from that gnome.
You do get the boost of speed from that one gnome.
And then also you can make some adamantine armor down there, but otherwise it's not that crazy.
And then you can move on to Act 2. Before we move on to Act 2, how do you feel about Act 1? Act 1 is the...
It's fine.
Act 1 was the game as it existed in early access for many years. As such, there is a lot of stuff in Act 1.
I don't know that there needs to be that much stuff. But I do finish it all in like 6.5 hours at this point, which is a long time if you think about it. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't have that strong of an opinion about Act 1 in general, other than like... Mm-hmm. That is some of the easiest parts to do role-playing in your head, the way that I like to do. And after that, you kind of get wrapped up in the plot, and then you kind of have to, like, bend your character toward the plot of the game in some ways.
I would agree with that. I think I like that mode better. I think I liked imagining... I felt like I didn't have a handle on Velin and Morel's characters until I got into Act 2. I felt like they were just kind of drifting through Act 1 and just kind of reacting to situations. However, the flip side of that is that because you have to fit into how the game works after once you hit Act 2, my ideas around who Morel is and my ideas around who Velin is end up very similar, you know? Like, there's less wiggle room on who your character becomes. You kind of do get pushed into a little bit of Paragon and Renegade. I think it's a little better than Paragon and Renegade because there's more different, like, actually different outcomes. But the different outcomes boil down to evil god with dominion over the whole world or save the whole world, you know?
Or synthesis. Become evil god over the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
What if you held the power?
What if I had the power?
I wish I had an easy shorthand for the ability to make my own choices in the world. Like a visual object that could represent the endless possibility of telling my own story.
Do we want to get into like broad thematic stuff that you and I have been chewing on for a little while about this?
Sure. I mean, what is the absolute, though?
The absolute is the Dead Three, which...
Who are dead. But their name has been crossed out of the list.
Yeah. The Dead Three are Bane, God of Tyranny, Baal, Lord of Murder, and Merkel, God of just death, mm-hmm. right? In a particular sense
in Faerun, if you say to Merc somebody, that's means offer their soul to Merkel.
God of death in the same sense of like Hades, but also more explicitly evil than Hades is.
Well, he's one of the Dead Three.
Yeah.
And they're all evil.
Yeah.
He's the neutral evil.
Yeah. It's kind of like Bane is lawful evil, Merkel is evil, Baal is chaotic evil. I couldn't remember the word. They have all They're chosen, you know, the Baal spawn and then the two chosen of Bane and Merkel have sort of come together in this plot where they have controlled a big evil space brain called the Elder Brain that's controlling the Mind Flayers.
When there is an Elder Brain, it is the core of the Illithid Empire.
Yes.
It gathers Illithid to its cause and, like, unites them with one single focus and purpose. It's like that thing from Halo, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a big brain.
And they were able to get control over it by using ancient magic that you can find out about from Gale's backstory.
So Karsus was a guy in D&D who wanted to become a god, and then it fucked up, and he died. He turned to stone. There's a whole, like, type of guy called Karsites who run around in the world who are immune to magic and who have, like, whose presence diminishes the magic around them. Those are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to be a god of magic. The current god of magic at the time, Mistral, fucking died as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think she, like, destroyed the weave, which is all magic.
Yeah.
And by destroying magic, prevented him from becoming a god. And then was somebody else came along and took up the title Mistra to be the new goddess of magic.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Karsus had, like, an empire of floating cities. And those all fell...
Netheril.
And those all fell to the ground when he died. And all of the Netherese magic relics were, like, broken and scattered, except...
The Crown of Karsus.
The Crown of Karsus.
Which the dead, the Chosen of the Dead Three have used to get this Elder Brain under their control. So, our bad guys, the Absolute, once, like, absolute dominion over everything. The elimination of free will. Bane wants to rule over everything. Merkel and Baal kind of just want everything dead, you know? Baal especially. Do you hear that I hit that H really hard because I don't want to just keep saying Baal on the podcast?
What's wrong with balls? Are you the ball spawn or are you Baal's pawn?
Oh my god. If you're the Dark Urge, the thing that you're going to find out very late in the game is that...
It was all your idea.
You were the ball spawn that came up with this whole plan.
You came up with the plan with Gortash. Fucking Gortash, he's just a guy. He's an alchemist, or an artificer, I guess. And then your... pseudo half-sister, Orin, who's also a ball spawn, but also the granddaughter of Saravok.
Who shows up here despite having died in every previous Baldur's Gate game.
Why would that matter?
It doesn't.
Ball is here.
Yeah.
She betrays you, takes your place as the, like, chosen of Ball, kicks the shit out of you, puts a worm in your brain, mm-hmm. and puts you down the garbage chute, and that's how you end up in the Nautiloid.
Mm-hmm. We should also, before we get into, like, the thematic stuff that I think is, like, the main reason that we wanted to do this episode, we should explain the Emperor a little bit. Or the Dream Visitor, if you will.
The Dream Consort? The Dream... There were other words.
Yeah, Dream Guardian.
Dream Guardian.
The Dream Visitor approaches you. They're a person who you will learn is...
You design them.
You design them, which in my case always means hitting the random button until I get something funny. So you make a Dream Visitor. They, as you will learn, live inside. Shadowheart is carrying the artifact, a Githyanki weapon that she has stolen just before the start of the video game that looks like a D20. This will come up shortly. The Dream Visitor lives inside this D20 and is protecting you from transforming into a Mind Flayer as anybody with a brain worm should.
Well, that's not at all.
Among other things, yeah.
They also aren't transforming everybody.
What's that?
They're also not transforming everybody who has the brain worms.
They're not they're...
Because you run into plenty of people called true souls who have the worm in them.
Yes. The true souls have the worm, but have not transformed yet. However...
But once the cult spreads far enough, they'll all transform in an instant.
And the Elder Brain has sent out the word that you need to be transformed, and this Dream Visitor is protecting you from that transformation.
How are they doing that?
Well, what you learn at some point is that they are a Mind Flayer themselves. A Mind Flayer
itself.
Who broke free of
Use he a lot for the Emperor, but I think all Mind Flayers use it's.
I believe that's true.
So I think even the narrator calls the Emperor it.
Yes, I believe that's the case.
Yes.
It broke free of the Elder Brain's influence and is trying to find some way to rebel against it, and so has like picked you and your companions and is like, I think this guy sucks ass. But we can get into that momentarily. you learn that he's a mind flayer, and you learn that it's a mind flayer, and you continue to collaborate with it because it is protecting you, and then in the end game, you have to make this choice about do you trust it or not, and there's a bunch of stuff there.
Well, I will add that it never acts against you, even once.
Okay.
It never betrays you.
It never fucking tells you the truth, either.
Not the same thing.
We can get to the Emperor again in just a moment.
Sometimes you have to make unpopular decisions to save the world. And maybe I'm just built different.
Okay.
But sometimes you have to, like, kill people.
I understand the argument.
Sometimes you have to kill a bard. Or you have to kill, like, a cleric at an inn mm-hmm. in order to get to where you need to be to save the world.
Did you kill the cleric?
No.
Did you kill Isabel?
No.
Darling Isabel?
I did not. I killed the Night Song that one time,
mm-hmm.
well, the first time through, and then I reloaded because I wasn't
happy with the... Okay, so coming back around to the thing that I wanted to talk about and had to lay all this groundwork for... You, especially as the Dark Urge, but even if you're not the Dark Urge, are in the situation where you are, like, subservient to someone. You are, like, you know, you are under the protection of the Emperor and kind of need to do the things that the Emperor wants you to do.
But it doesn't stop you from going and visiting the Githyanki Kresh, which, it says they're looking for the Astral Prism. Don't go over there. And then you go anyway,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, well, I told you this would go wrong. Here, let me save your life.
I just think that it lies to you a lot.
Yeah.
I think it manipulates you. I think it, anything that is...
Now, you will notice that Morel and Villain have never once rolled a deception check in their life, so just keep that in mind.
I think there's a big difference between lying to your enemies and lying to people you are supposed to be allied with. I also think...
I wonder if there's any other characters in this video game who lie to the people that they're traveling with at first, and then once they realize that they can trust each other, they start to open up about maybe their past... Maybe their culture, maybe their religion, maybe, like, the state of their body by biting you, maybe their family.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything. Maybe, like, whether or not they have an ex-girlfriend who's a goddess. I wonder if there's any characters who share their past only after knowing whether they can trust you.
But there's a difference between those things... And the Emperor is explicitly, like, anything that do not align with its goals, it is, like, going to manipulate and lie and gaslight and, like, totally, like, try to move the moral framework on you. Like, oh, it's fine that we have enslaved the Githyanki Prince to accomplish this goal.
What do you mean?
Well, because... The way that it is able to protect you is because it has enslaved and dominated Orpheus, who is this ancient Githyanki prince that was mm-hmm. thought to have disappeared a millennia ago, or thought to have died a millennia ago. And, like, you can express objections to that, but, like, there is no framework where, you know, those goals don't align with the Emperor's, and so... Like, the Emperor does not allow you to free the prince. In fact, if you do free the prince, then the Emperor betrays you and sides with the Elder Brain, you know? Because its own survival is more important to it than, say, the liberation of a galactic empire under the thumb of a Lich Queen, you know?
That's correct. The Illithids are basically xenomorphs what can talk.
Yeah. Its own survival is more important to it than, like... It claims the sort of core thematic thing at the center of Baldur's Gate 3 is this concept of freedom and what does freedom mean, and it's there's a lot of different stuff. And I think the Emperor bothers me because its conception of freedom is only its own personal freedom and not the freedom of others. And so Morel ultimately sacrifices her own freedom in order to free all of Faerun from the threat of the Absolute, and also the whole Githyanki Empire from Vlaketh.
How?
By becoming a Mind Flayer herself. and so, like, that to me is... That to me, Autumn, is... I'm in the moral right here, and also, I think in the framework of the video game, that's the right choice to
make. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody needs to be a Mind Flayer to use the Netherstones to control the Crown of Karsus. Mm-hmm. Whether that's freeing Orpheus and turning him into a Mind Flayer, letting the Emperor do it, or turning yourself into a Mind Flayer and doing it. The Emperor is just acting like you. The Emperor is just playing a single-player CRPG and,
oh, for sure.
And manipulating all the factors that it can to get the outcome it wants.
Yes. I'm not saying that the Emperor is a bad character. I'm just saying that I think this guy fucking blows.
I love it. I love this guy. I'm bummed that I didn't get the scene that you did, whatever that was about.
What scene?
With the Dragonborn boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the other thing that you get if you do some extremely optional side content...
Isn't it the end of Will's quest? Don't you have to do that for Will's quest?
I think so, yeah.
Most of Act 3 is taking down the two guys that have the other two Netherstones that you don't have yet.
And because in Act 2 you take down Ketherick Thorne, played by J.K. Simmons, who's got the first... stone, and you learn a lot of this stuff. We never talked about Act 2, which is my favorite part of the game. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I'm gonna get there.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You love me. You adore me. You think I'm a cute.
You're a cute?
Yeah. I'm a triangle.
The conspiracy continues. And in the background, also gathering allies, gathering promises to aid you against the Elder Brain from people you helped in previous acts. And what of those is this... This quest here.
So, Will's quest, Will, one of the companions, his father is Grand Duke Ravengard, leader of the Flaming Fists, which are kind of the cops and kind of the military. The city guard. That sometimes takes their jurisdiction outside of Baldur's Gate. Anyway, you have to free Grand Duke Ravengard. Duke Ravengard tells you, oh, thanks for freeing me. You know what you should do is you should go get help from this dragon. There's a dragon that lives beneath the city. So you go do that. You go free this here dragon, Ansur, and you go through some annoying trials that are just bad puzzles, and you get to Ansur, and Ansur is dead. And you're like, what the fuck? Dragon died. You go inspect the dragon corpse, and the dragon corpse, its eyes glow, and it possesses you, and it's like, you came back. And you're like, I haven't been here before. And then the Emperor pops up and is like, nah, he's talking to me. And he's like, fucking Baldurin, you betrayed me, you rotten son of a bitch. And you get this backstory where it turns out the Emperor is Baldurin, this mythic folkloric hero who became a mind flayer, who unbeknownst to the people became a mind flayer. Ansur was his dragon buddy, and Ansur was looking for a cure to make him no longer a mind flayer. Baldurin wanted to continue being a mind flayer, and so eventually killed Ansur, supposedly in self-defense. I guess I do believe that it's in self-defense. I just also think that Ansur was right to try to kill him. yeah, I thought this fucking rocked, because you know what we love in this house? Undead dragons possessing you and making your eyes glow and speaking to you.
Personally, if I turn into a Lithid, it would be chill.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, Morel...
Untold psychic powers?
Morel became a Lithid and it was pretty chill.
Yeah.
I mean, Morel would have a real fucking sad ending.
I would hope that you wouldn't try to kill me.
If you became a Lithid, would I try to kill you? I don't know. It would depend.
On what?
On if you were evil.
Define evil.
Well.
Some people would say the
that's
existence...
That's the work of a lifetime.
Some people say the existence of a mind flayer is inherently evil.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. But I do think that, like, you're given... I don't... It's fucked up because you have to sort of agree to D&D's conceit that, like, some races are fundamentally evil. And this game definitely leans on, particularly if you become yourself a mind flayer, like something the Emperor says is, illusion and deceit is my language, you know, just as words are for you. And that's, like, I got a little flavor text about that in my ending where I became a mind flayer myself. All the characters in this game, Char, she is this cleric of an evil god. What?
Char is a cleric of an evil god?
Shadowheart is the cleric of this evil goddess, Char, and...
Lady of Loss and Pain.
Yes. Lady of Shadows. And you, her kind of story arc is about, like, is she going to fully embrace this life of loss and pain and dedication to Char, or is she going to rebel against it? And the good ending of this is undoubtedly her rebelling against it. The bad ending, the evil ending, is, you know, aligning with Char.
But if you let her become a Dark Justiciar, you can have ritual sex to, like, deface a Salunite temple. So who can say which ending is the good or bad one?
Well, I might have to explore that.
Granted, she then later breaks up with you because she's like, my true devotion is to Lady Char.
But
you were fun.
The problem with the romance in these games is that they come up with sexy scenarios sometimes.
Like fucking somebody over your own grave.
Yeah.
Or Asterion out here bending Tav over his own gravestone.
Or, like, I had to fuck this devil.
You had to?
I elected to fuck this devil to get its secrets, and then I could have promised it my soul while coming. I had to roll a constitution save. I had to roll a constitution save not to sell my soul. Instead, I sold my body, which then what happened was...
Which is basically the copyright of your appearance.
And
like, you sold your likeness to a shape-shifting succubus.
Incubus, please.
He does both.
And then the incubus is like, anytime I fuck using your form, you'll know. And basically what happened is that on two random occasions as I was walking around Baldur's Gate, I got, like, stopped in a dialogue where I had to roll constitution saves not to moan out loud in front of everybody. And they were, like, DC 25, and Lacelle was kink-shaming me for it. Which, I gotta say, the eternal punishment of this devil has the vibrator with the remote where they can activate it on him.
And you gave me shit for my line earlier about Lazelle's nose.
What I'm saying, the problem is that these are good scenarios for sex, I'm not gonna lie, but the video game's animations leave something to be desired. It's not, like, watching it is not a good time, necessarily.
You don't find the experience of playing the game titillating?
No.
Mm.
But I guess that's fine when you have fan artists to take care of that part for you. So you have Shadowheart, who she's got her life dedicated to Char. Will, he's a warlock, you know, he's sworn to Mizora and torn between duty to his father, who rejected him for being a warlock, and, you know, all these sorts of things. Lazelle, she's dedicated her life to Vlakith the Lich Queen, and then she finds out about Orpheus, and he's still alive, and now, oh, should I actually dedicate my life to Orpheus? You know, Gale dedicated his life to his goddess, Mistra, and then, like, he tried to become a god and paid the price, and now he has this orb in his chest. He's having sort of crisis of faith.
He was trying to find a piece of the weave from when Karsus was ascending to give it back to Mistra.
Yes, yes.
And then it embedded itself within him and turned him into a magic vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mistra dumped him for Elminster's bony ass. It's not really a crisis of faith necessarily.
Yeah. All the characters, I guess, his crisis.
Karlach was sold to Zariel by Gortash.
Astarion is this vampire, like, who's
vampire spawn.
Who spent all these years in the torture chambers of Cazador. Czar, who, by the way, fucking rocks. That character's so good. Once you finally meet him, and he's like, I'm the most evil vampire in all the land.
You didn't get any of the dialogue about Astarion because you killed Astarion.
I didn't like him. I didn't like him, but he tried to bit me, and I realized he tried to bite me. And I realized, I'm like, oh, I could just remove this character I don't like from the video game right now. And so I stabbed him. Cazador rocks. I mean, he's evil. He's fucked up, but he rocks.
Witness a vampire descendant!
He fucking, you requiesce got in Pache his ass. So, there's all these, like, higher powers that these characters are servants to, and the game is, like, the good endings for all of these characters is that they become liberated, they gain their freedom in some way, and the symbol of this freedom is this D20, you know? And the ending of the game, the characters all, like, meet up some months later, and it's like, oh, we should have a regular social gathering. And it's like, literally, the path to freedom in the universe of Baldur's Gate 3 is playing Dungeons & Dragons with your friends.
Also, Scratch has the D20.
Oh, does Scratch have it? I didn't notice that.
If you talk to Scratch, he's got the artifact now empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can either take it away or throw it around.
That's cute. That's adorable. But yeah, like, there's just all this, like, thematic stuff around, you know, deals with devils. There's this other guy, Raphael, who's trying to, like, get you into his plots the whole game. The good outcomes for all of these is acquiring some sort of personal freedom. I think the Emperor bothers me because the most interesting aspect of the game then becomes, what are you going to put first, your personal freedom or the freedom of all the people of Baldur's Gate? And the Emperor is going to choose its own freedom, not the freedom of the people of Baldur's Gate, which Morel and Valin would make the opposite choice.
It was never going to make that choice.
Yeah.
Not in a million years.
Yeah.
Because it's always been a survivor. Like, the guy that the Emperor used to be was a guy who ran around and did tomb-robbing shit.
Yeah.
He was always, like, a survivor, live-on-your-feet guy.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, this is also contrasted against the, like, actual villains of the game, Gortash, Ketherick, and Orin, who, like, the reason that they are evil is because they've dedicated their they're like fully dedicated to these evil things and want every like want free will and Faerun to be completely eradicated, you know.
Well, that's not true. Baal wants to kill everything.
Yeah.
Merkel wants to betray the other two once it has all three Netherstones. Catherick plans to give absolute power, literally absolute power, to Merkel in exchange for bringing his daughter back.
Right.
And he says, I would consign all of Faerun to death for Merkel, because more than any other master I've served, he served Shar for a while, and I think he served Saluna before Shar?
Yes.
And he's moved from master to master, but for this time is, like, the most committed he's ever been, and he's willing to, like, destroy the world for the god of death, because Merkel brought back his dead daughter. And then, surprise, she hates his guts.
Yeah,
but you know,
because he's fucking evil.
That's not Merkel's problem.
That's truly not Merkel's fucking problem.
And Bane does just want the tyranny. Wants to install like rulership over all the mortals. Now, granted, if this plan succeeds, I think the other gods are gonna step in.
And also, supposedly, you can find in the lair of the Absolute beneath Moonrise Towers, you can find your old belongings, like before you had the brainworms. And supposedly, your plan is, you know that everybody's going to betray each other, you know?
Yeah.
This is how the Dead Three always do, is they always betray each other. Your plan is to side with Bane when that betrayal comes along, because you can work with Bane long enough to get like power over the whole world, rule the whole world. And then once you rule the whole world, it's easy to just start killing, you know?
And Gortash is willing to side with you.
Yeah, Gortash is also like, all your murdering will help me.
Here's the thing that the game doesn't put that fine a point on, is that Gortash loves the Dark Urge.
Yeah.
Like, when he finds out that it's you and you're coming back, his face lights up.
Yeah.
He's so thrilled to see his Oomphy again.
He is.
Like, y'all were tight.
Well, and also, he fucking hates Orin.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? She sucks.
She's a freaky blood pervert who walks around nude all the time.
He's like, I had somebody who had their shit together. They had a fucking plan. And then I got this just chaotic evil woman. This is not my vibe. I would not have gone into business with this bitch. You know? So he's ecstatic when you're back. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting, and I think it's weird, and I think there's a lot of stuff to think about with how this game thinks about freedom, and I kind of wanted to talk about it in part because I feel like all the content around this game that I see is just effusive. Like, this game has come out in the era of like SEO and just like showing off all the various dialogue options, you know? And I think the reason the game can be like this is because there is so fucking much content.
Because
I saw a TikTok a while back that really sort of laid the horrors of game development bare, you know, as so often happens. Larian Studios operates 24 hours a day. The sun never sets on Larian Studios. They have a studio in Europe, a studio in America, and a studio in Malaysia, which means that if, say, the European studio starts development in the morning, and then the Malaysian studio bug tests overnight for them, they can come back and, you know, keep working on it tomorrow morning. And, oh, look, we don't have to wait for our bug testing. Our bug testing happened while we were off work. It's insane, the setup. And the heads of Larian are so ecstatic in describing this to you. And I'm like, you have created Great Britain. What are you talking about?
You've created the Absolute.
Yes. And yeah, like, you know, if a writer writes something and then the actors, you know, act it out, and then, you know, the other studio passes it off to implement it in the game, it can all get done in a sort of timely manner. They've really, like, they really fucking, like, City Skylines, like, optimized every little piece of their development pipeline. It's a little horrifying.
There's been a lot of, like, discussion about, like, does Baldur's Gate 3 raise the bar for RPGs? No. There will not be another game like this, because who else, like, what other circumstances will lead to a game being, like, actively developed while it's out for, like, 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
It's, like, it is extremely the specific circumstances of, Divinity. The Divinity games were successful on a smaller scale. Not a small scale. You know, Larian did not just come up with a 24-hour studio overnight, but, like, was not operating on this level in the Divinity days. It's the mix of Divinity is successful, Hasbro, Wizards of the Coast, is making a concerted effort to maximize profits on the brand. It, like, truly, and you can see now how clearly, it, like, what the strat was of, like, Stranger Things and Crit Roll and certain, like, elements of popular culture have increased the value of D&D. We need to maximize on it now. And they did it in 2023. The movie came out and was a hit. The game came out and in some ways is a bigger hit because in the scope of video games, smaller hit in the scope of movies are just a larger...
Baldur's Gate 3 was first teased in 2019 when Descent into Avernus.
Yeah.
The which was sold as the prequel to Baldur's Gate 3 was released.
Yeah.
It was originally there was going to be a big Baldur's Gate sweep.
Yeah.
Between the tabletop and the video game. That didn't fucking happen because video games take forever to make.
Mm-hmm. And COVID. But also, just because video games take forever to make, they're still making Baldur's Gate 3. You know? But...
When I last played Baldur's Gate 3 as Kess, I could press the up button and start flying.
Yeah.
Now it's back to jump. They are still making Baldur's Gate 3. They have not finished it.
It's so fucking... It's just so transparent because 2023, like, was the most profitable year ever for the Dungeons & Dragons brand. And 2023 is also the year that, like, 2 days before Christmas, they laid off everybody. The two things happened. One, they allowed the sale of OGL, Open Game License, content on D&D Beyond, which is to say that if, Nora, you and I write a book and we're like, we came up with two new classes, the Arbiter and the Master Chief.
Nope. Try again.
The Marbiter and the Aster Beef.
My laptop is not plugged in, by the way.
Okay.
Hopefully we get it plugged in before anything catastrophic happens. Hey, there we go.
Okay, we're doing better on time than I thought. The
December 12th, 2023, 1,100 people laid off from Hasbro.
So yeah, they got their fucking OGL shit sorted out. They tried to go a different way with it, then they went
back. This was after they called the Pinkertons on a guy who happened to buy Magic cards that were accidentally available before the
stream. Right, right. By the way. I forgot about that.
And they like trashed the guy's place and demanded receipts for every Magic card that the guy owned.
Jesus Christ. I forgot about that.
And, like, you know, menaced his family.
Yeah. So, now they have outsourced content creation for the Dungeons & Dragons tabletop game. They've got the new Player's Handbook, which is just a patch of the previous Player's Handbook, coming out sometime soon, and then they can coast off sales of that for another 10 years, like they did with the sales of 5th Edition. And they really, like, tried to make a... very transparently, made a lot of money in a short amount of time off of this video game and another of a number of other things, and now they can sort of just coast for some years, invest in something else, you know?
But they will not make another game like this.
No, absolutely.
They will not give this brand to another, like, studio like this.
No.
They might make Larian make more Baldur's Gate 3, like, do some DLCs. But yeah, if they are like, we want to do a Spelljammer game, or we want to do a Dragonlance game, like...
that's not happening, you know?
They're not going to, like, just find an RPG studio and give it to them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Star Wars. They're going to be, like, really controlling about it because they know, oh, we made one that makes money.
Yeah. There will be there will be at least one expansion for this game, I assume. Possibly more. I'm going to stop playing with this dice on the podcast. I'm going to grab this one as a fidget toy. This one. It's a little D12 here.
That's a D10.
No, it's a D12.
Yeah, but I made you look.
I knew! You think I don't know what a D12 feels like in my hand?
D12 is my favorite. Please don't roll the dice on the podcast.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. You think I'm so cute.
Not right now, I don't.
I love a D12. Anyway, they're not, like, there's not going to be a Baldur's Gate 4.
And nobody is going to make their own RPG like Baldur's Gate 3.
No.
Nobody else is going to have the resources or the, like, brand power to, like, sit around in early access for years and years and years and maintain a, like, pretty sizable player base that is interested and invested in playing the content over and over again and, like, responding to feedback and still purchasing the early access version. Like, a lot of factors went into this video game being as big and well-received as it is, and I don't think most of them are likely to reoccur.
Yeah, like, Starfield didn't have it like this.
Who?
Yeah. Cyberpunk didn't have it like this. The Witcher 4... If The Witcher 4 existed, it wouldn't come out till, like, what, 2028? The economy... like, there's layoffs happening in the games industry every day. Like... The economy cannot sustain The Witcher 4 coming out, you know? Baldur's Gate 3 is not raising the bar because...
how many different Dragon Age 4s have been canceled?
exceedingly efficient at it. Fucking Anthem exists, you know? Like, no one's gonna make a game like this at this scale.
That's not to say that this game is inherently good or better than other RPGs.
Here's the fucked up thing.
It is sort of a unique position, but, like, I played Celeste: Crown of the Magister. Y'all are welcome to come into the hole with me and play Celeste: Crown of the Magister.
Here's the fucked up thing.
It's got a GM mode.
Does it really?
You can use it to run D&D. Huh. As far as I'm aware, I don't know exactly how it works, because I never played multiplayer with it. But you know what Baldur's Gate 3 doesn't have?
A GM mode?
Yeah, that's right.
Here's the thing that like, sucks, and, like, I expressed this in a weird way on Ornate Stairwells, Ghost Divers a while back, that I wished I could, like, rephrase what I said, and I think I have it. It's, like, the thing is that I do think that, like, I've fucking played Pathfinder of the Wrath of the Righteous for, like, an hour or two. It's poorly optimized. It barely runs 30 frames a second. It's confusing, and the menus are poorly laid out, and it's hard to learn how to get into it. And
the text is too small.
And, like, Baldur's Gate 3 is a better RPG than a lot of the other stuff that's available. The reason that it is a better RPG is because they invented the British Empire to make it. And they're not making another one. And, like, it's just... I guarantee that
2 years from now, one of those two whole studios will be gone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Larian will sunset development on Baldur's Gate 3, you know, fucking... Ascent from Avernus will come out, and you know, they'll wind down and they'll announce a new...
They'll tap 30% of their entire company to carry on with the next Divinity game.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That's how video games work.
Yes, and it will come out in 2028, and it will be poorly received, and then Larian will shut down, you know?
Or Larian will be purchased by Xbox.
Like... The economy is falling apart every fucking day right now, and video games are having it, like, really fucking bad, you know?
But I got to kiss Astarion.
I didn't kiss Astarion. So, I don't know. I think them throwing money at the problem did make a really good video game that I really do fucking love. And also, like, I don't know. There's nothing, like, I'm not excited about it, you know?
I just had a crazy thought.
What's your crazy
Which
thought?
Which is that Wizards of the Coast really did haul a boat through the forest.
Over the fucking mountain.
Yeah, to make Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
The Wizards didn't, but Larian. Yeah. Anyway,
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, out now.
No, thank you. you know what I'm likely to do? First of all, I have to play Alan Wake for a journal updated.
You know what's a good video game?
Chorus, a.k.a. Chorvs.
Alan Wake. You should uninstall Alan Wake Remastered, and you should install Alan Wake.
Why?
I think it looks better.
Noted.
I think the visuals are noticeably better.
I have 2 hours or more of progress in Alan Wake, so I will not be taking that.
No, don't do that then. Suggestion. Yeah, don't.
But your dissent is noted.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. Don't lose your 2 hours of progress.
We didn't really go into that detail, that much, like, depth and detail about specifics of the plots of the game, but, like, we're not mages and murder dads.
Yeah.
For better and for worse.
I'm really enjoying the season of Mages and Murder Dads. I do think that those two can be a bit, a little bit curmudgeonly about, well, it's not like second edition, and so therefore...
Like, the identity of D&D has changed.
Mm-hmm.
What's the line? The hierarchy of power has shifted.
It's...
And those two are not necessarily hip to what the brand fantasy of D&D is in 2024. Mm. And I think that makes for... As you said, a curmudgeonly podcast experience at times.
But also, I'm really enjoying it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I like Balthazar, the barbarian.
Yeah.
I like...
Tikhlvar. The sorcerer. Welcome back. I'm enjoying the season.
It's interesting to see that kind of perspective because...
Mm-hmm.
So many of the people I see talking about Baldur's Gate 3 are 5e only people.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the difference of perspective, even if I think that sometimes it gets a little off track, a little off base.
It's weird, too, because, I have not listened to all of Mages and Murder Dads, but if you're trying to think about the lineage of Dungeons & Dragons video games... It's fucking weird because there was a lot of second edition games.
I mean...
There were a lot of second edition games.
There's so many D&D games from before that.
Well, yeah. But I just mean, if you're playing games in, say, the Baldur's Gate lineage, you know? There are a lot of second edition games. There are two third edition games. That they didn't play, I don't think.
D&D Tactics for the PSP.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I believe you. I'm referring to Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights 2.
I don't know anything about that. I know about D&D Tactics on the PSP, which is in many ways very similar to these turn-based 5e games.
Well, Neverwinter Nights 1
although
and 2...
Although that has more like a stage-based thing rather than an overworld, okay. Which I think is cooler.
Okay.
I want stages where you... I want a Final Fantasy Tactics of like, here's the map. We're going to do some story and like maybe you make some visual novel design, like dialogue branches.
Yeah.
And then you enter in, here's spawning the battle map for the session. Which I think that at its best, the environments of Baldur's Gate 3, sometimes if you get a good wide angle, can look like, oh, the Goblin Camp looks like a big battle map that you'll see in Dimension 20 or in Critical Role.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get a good angle on it, you can see all of the different parts, and it's like the right shape and scale that it would be fun to move your little guys around.
I understand for many reasons why this is not how the game is. If Baldur's Gate 3 had squares in it, I don't think I would ever play another video game in my life.
I love XCOM so much.
I love XCOM so fucking much.
I've spent years pining for an XCOM-style game that uses the 4th edition rules, which are even more like grid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be so much fun.
Yeah.
I should play that Marvel game, maybe?
You did, didn't you?
I played a couple hours of it.
You didn't really care for it, I thought.
It was fine.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
What was it, Midnight Suns?
Midnight Suns.
It's so fucked up that the DLC teaser at the end of this game is referring to Dark Sun, and it's not about the setting Dark Sun.
Do you want to play the Dark Sun video game?
Sure. You typed in PC gay.
That's right. Hey, check out this. Don't you want to play this game?
No, I don't actually. No, I'm good. Thanks. I take
Are
back
sure?
what I said 5 seconds ago. This
Are
looks terrible.
Sure? It doesn't look fun to you?
No, not even a little bit.
Autumn hates DOS.
That's true. This is one of many known facts about me, is that I hate DOS.
Not me. I love that shit.
But yeah. They're never going to finish making Dragon Quest III HD 2D. They're never making another Dragon Quest. They're certainly never making another Baldur's Gate.
They're never going to finish making Baldur's Gate 3.
They're never going to finish making Baldur's Gate 3. And when they do finish making Baldur's Gate 3, it will be finished. It will stop one day.
I mean, everything stops one day.
Well, yeah, but it's not like it'll get a, like... It won't be pretty. There will be layoffs, and then Baldur's Gate 3 will be over.
Yeah, probably.
If we're lucky, they'll announce a press conference to say Baldur's Gate 3 is canceled.
Anyway, did you like the game?
I love the game. It's one of my favorite fucking video games I've ever played. I've put 150 fucking hours in it. I'm going to put 150 more because I need to see Elzanine's fucking Chaotic Evil playthrough.
It's no Skyrim, but I did like it a lot.
You're crazy. It's so much better than Skyrim. It's so much better than Skyrim.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I can jump as much as I want in Skyrim.
Can I get really close to the microphone right now? No.
Let's get really close to the microphone together.
Hi, Larian Studios. Hello, I know you're listening.
Larian Studios, I know you're listening.
Could you
perhaps
put in a fucking run button?
No.
Nora, where can people find you online?
You can find me at various websites under the name Skulldaughter. You can find stuff I've done at norablake.online. You can answer the same question yourself.
Well, before people find this online, I remembered that we put out a call for emails, and my phone is somewhere around here. My phone is somewhere around here, and we'll answer those emails, and then I'll do my plugs.
Only the strictest professionalism here on Export Audio. I haven't eaten today, and I would love to have dinner soon.
From Chloe. What do you think of the clear lack of quality drop in Act 3? Yeah, I think that Act 3 is just as good as the... I think Act 2 is the best act.
Act 2 is very tight. It's very, like, in and out.
Yeah. I think Act 3 has some of the same problems that Act 1 does, you know?
It's too much stuff. Another lesson that can be learned from The Outer Worlds is that sometimes you want a smaller, denser...
What if there were fewer things to do in the video game?
But what if they were fun?
They were fun. What other RPGs, like tabletop RPGs, would you like to see a CRPG adaptation of?
You could do a dungeon world thing that runs kind of like Disco Elysium.
Yeah, that
could be fun. Something a little more abstract.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't go to tier tabletop RPGs as much as you do. What?
For now. Just joined a group.
That is rapidly changing, as I have covered on many other podcasts.
And you run a group now. You run Blades in the Dark.
I do.
Let me tell you about Dishonored.
Yeah.
Would you play it? I would play a Dishonored CRPG, maybe.
Yeah, I would play a Dishonored. I don't know how you would even begin adapting Blades into a CRPG, but I'd be interested in it. You know,
I would imagine that the design document has the words "Fall in London" on it somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's probably also true of Blades in the Dark. any chance of you playing the older Baldur's Gate games? Yeah, very high chance for me, very low chance for you.
Yeah, they're not that interesting to me. I would probably sooner play KOTOR 2.
From Bloody William.
This is the funny one. No offense to the asker of this question.
Yes. Hello. Online, multiple people pointed out how you cannot romance any of the goblins and how that is bullshit. Is there any characters in the game you wish you were able to be romance options but weren't? To address the goblins thing, first of all...
I've never seen this.
I've never seen this. But I just think that, like, this game is part of the whole, like, being tied up in a lot of, like, thoughts about, like, freedom, and freedom is good, and, you know, taking away freedom is bad, this game very much subscribes to the Dungeons & Dragons cosmology of good and evil are real, and they exist, and they're specific things, and goblins are evil, you know? There's no one I really wish I could romance... I still haven't romanced Lazelle. I haven't finished romancing Karlach.
Like, I know there's a lot of people out there who want to fuck Gortash, and I don't know that I can follow you on that path.
Those people, I really support them. I don't understand them.
I think Orin should be an option. I think you should get a chance to skip fighting Orin by by romancing her.
I think you should get to fuck Scleratus Fell.
Oh, he's in the cuck chair.
And sorry to the question asker, but this was very funny.
Uh-huh.
Also, for Crystal, who is the Link, Ganondorf, and Zelda of Baldur's Gate 3? You'll notice that neither of us are Crystal.
That's true. Crystal has been on a lot of episodes of this podcast in the last 6 months, though.
Yes. I understand thinking that Crystal is a host of this podcast, but she's not.
The player is Link, and the Elder Brain is Ganondorf, and whoever you want to romance is Zelda.
Yeah.
Done.
Jen asks, several of my acquaintances who've played through Larian RPGs in the past take issue with the way their stories peter out in the back half, especially felt that way about Baldur's Gate 3. If given the opportunity, are there any changes you would make to bring about a more satisfying ending for the various characters y'all built? I mean, we kind of addressed this a moment ago. I don't think there... A lot of people have said there's a quality drop in Act 3. I just don't feel the same way. Or if there is, it's only because Act 2 is better. I think it has the same problems as Act 1, and I think it's better than Act 1, you know?
I mean, in Act 1, I was never caught in a loop of Gale being so wanted by the law that he would get arrested for being in jail.
I did briefly have a moment on Saturday where Gale was so wanted by the law that he was trespassing in prison and they had to throw him in jail.
No, that was Friday because you were dealing with that next to me on the couch while I was doing the finale of my Scum and Villainy RPG.
I really enjoyed the very bittersweet ending that I got for my character. Like I say, Morel made a huge sacrifice of her own body and became a mind flayer so that Orpheus, the Githyanki prince, would not have to. Because she made that sacrifice, fucking Shadowheart dumped her, and then I regretted not just romancing Karlach, because Karlach don't mind. Karlach would have just been like, yeah, let's go to hell together, buddy.
See, I made Karlach a mind flayer.
Yeah.
Well, she offered.
Yeah.
And then it fixed her heart problem, so now she can stay in the material plane and help people while also eating brains.
Yeah.
When people are, like, dying.
Yeah.
She gets to eat their brains, and then their memories live on in her.
I feel like Karlach really found a way to embrace being a mind flayer in a way that Morel just got broken up with and was fucking sad.
Yeah.
You know?
I had lots of adventures off-screen with Shadowheart, and then she was like, we have to hash out who tells who what so we don't tell the same story twice. Which I thought was cute.
Yeah. Becky took away my
D12. You keep clacking it on the table.
Becky asks, hopefully no one has asked this, but what would you add to the game? Races, subclasses, etc.? My friend and I were playing and wish we had emotes. One, emotes would be good.
You have the bard. You have the, if you have musical proficiency, or even if you don't, you can play one of three songs on an instrument.
Would that perhaps be because there's only three songs in the whole fucking video game?
No, that would be because I don't have the pre-order or whatever.
Oh, Christ.
There is, like, extra songs somewhere.
We didn't talk about the soundtrack to this video game. Is exceptionally terrible. Like,
it's not bad, it's just a little bit limited.
There is one song in the fucking video game.
Three songs.
They arranged the one song for every fucking...
That's how fandom works. You get your fanfare and then you make it sad for the sad scenes and you make it slow and, you know...
There should have been more than one fucking song!
There's three songs in the game and that's enough.
No, it's not. It's terrible. I hate it. I hate listening to this game. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. You're just overriding the other song that I was doing.
Oh, what were you doing?
The other one.
What's the other one?
The one that plays in the overworld.
Do it.
No.
Please?
No.
Pretty please?
No.
What if I kissed you?
No. We're doing a podcast.
Well,
what would you add to the fucking video game?
I would like them to add...
The Artificer.
The Artificer would be good. I want them to add more songs. Some of the subclasses, I'm just like, I can't tell if I want more subclasses in general. I'm like, I kind of want more, Warlock subclasses, let's say. I'm also like, well, the ones they have kind of cover the main things, I feel like. I don't know how hard it would be to add in some of the, like, the Undying or whatever, you know? I also feel like Warlock gets done a raw deal in this video game in general because you just can't have a patron that's just would blow up the scope of the game even more, you know? I don't know enough specific, like, cleric subclasses, but I felt like some of the cleric subclasses in this game are a little lackluster, you know? As a person who's constantly respecing Shadowheart.
I don't know. I would maybe want a couple, like, the Artificer class, or maybe some subclasses, but, like, I don't need it to have everything. There are more subclasses not in the game than there are in the game.
I guess,
And asking them to make another Baldur's Gate 3,
yeah,
is nonsense. But I would go for, like, you know, maybe they add in a DLC where they're like, oh, this DLC is themed around goblins. Now you can make goblin and hobgoblin characters.
Yeah.
Or, like, we're doing a nautical adventure, so we're adding sea elf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little things like that would be fun, but not necessary.
Yeah. I sort of imagine that the DLC is going to be a little planes hopping stuff, because that stuff is kind of already in the game a little bit. You don't go from plane to plane, but, like, you're dealing with a lot of, like, planar entities and stuff.
The issue is that everything that they add, they have to add all the dialogue tags for.
Yeah.
So they have to have whoever it is sit down and write, okay, look at every time we have a Gith Yankee option in the game and write a Gith Zerai, like, option in its place.
And then you have to, you can't just add that to the DLC, you have to add it to the base game, you know? Or there's just no Gith Zerai options in all of the base game. Who knows? It's weird. Becky's not listening to this because she's not finished Baldur's Gate 3, so. but once you are listening to this, hi, Becky. You're the best.
Is that it for emails?
I think so.
Where can people find you online?
People can find me at @autumnal_coffee on Twitter and at @autumnalcoffee on co-host. You can listen to my other podcasts like Ornate Stairwells and Coffee and Comic Books by going to exportaud.io.
Is that where this podcast can be supported?
Yes, and many others.
Cool.
I had a brain fart moment where I forgot the names of podcasts we do. Like Ghost Divers, or Pondering Putan, or Dragon Readers, right here in this very feed.
You might notice that there's no Dragon Readers today, like you might expect. That's, you know, that's pushed back to next week, but you have this instead.
Yeah.
A game with two dragons.
Yeah. For being Dungeons and Dragons, there could have been more dragons in the video game.
There could have been more dungeons.
Could have been more really?
You know?
There could have been more dungeons.
The biggest thing I dread when I go into Act 2 is having to do the Char dungeon again.
Yeah, the problem is that every time they think to themselves, let's put a dungeon in this Dungeons & Dragons video game, they think the meaning of dungeon is terrible fucking puzzles.
To be fair, a lot of GMs also think that the definition of a dungeon is terrible fucking puzzles.
I think that's a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, with... Hold on, I'll get there.
Uh-huh.
These puzzles really are a bit of a Char's counterattack.
Keep it Flamio, everybody.
Shut the fuck up.
Keep it Rubio.
Rest in peace, Ruby.
Rest in peace, Ruby. Pour one out for the dead homie.
She got eaten by that bird.
She got eaten by that fucking bird.
Life's all mortal lives expire. Souls go to their dooms in flame forevermore.
And the cause, curtain falls, but hold your applause. Squirm, squirm, for now down here come the claws.
Life's all mortal life.
hard you have fought. Brave, brave, but it's all been for naught. True souls that couldn't be bought. Doomed, detected, and caught. No more deals, it's over. The final act, you're doomed. No more grace, it's over. This house of hope.